Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fortress Comic News, episode 333.1. I am here today solo, but we have an awesome guest on the show, a returning special guest, as you'll see later. Blake McCarthy's back on the show for issue 4 of Territory, and we talk about the new campaign, how he's kind of upped his game in the Kickstarter realm, what you can expect from the campaign, and then, of course, a little bit about the book itself, going through all the different covers, everything you'd expect from a conversation about a Kickstarter campaign going through. But I always love talking with Blake. He's a good dude. I love the book. It's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Kickstarter book out there. And he has some awesome, awesome cover art going through the book as well. So I hope you all enjoy the conversation. And before we jump over to that, let me just do my plugs. Fortress Chris on social media, whether it's Twitter or X and Blue Sky, all that stuff. Just find me there at Fortress Chris. And if you want to follow the show, it's Fortress Comics _ on X. And if you want to support the show, 5-star reviews for the podcatchers. Like, subscribe, share, comment down below on the YouTube version of the show. And Patreon at patreon.com/fortresscomics. So enough of that business. Let's get to this interview with Blake. And I will see you all with another interview tomorrow. All right, everybody. We've got another very special guest for you all. I want everybody to welcome back to the show, Blake McCarthy. Welcome, Blake.
Thank you. Glad to be back. Appreciate you having me.
Oh, I'm glad to have you back. Had you for every issue of Territory, and happy to do so because it's one of our favorite books on Kickstarter, and you're back now with issue 4. I guess let's just start, in case somebody hasn't heard you on a past episode or something, just the quick rundown of what Territories is.
Totally. So Territory is a post-apocalyptic kaiju epic where the people worship the kaiju as gods. So basically, this is a story that takes place in somewhere up in the Pacific Northwest of the United States, in the far distant future after some sort of apocalyptic event. And these beasts known as behemoths, which are just sort of the kaiju of this world, have kind of taken over. And the remaining people that are alive live in tribes, and they worship the different kaiju as their gods. And this story follows Alkia. She's a member of the Great Horn tribe. The Great Horn is one of the kaiju, and it's just kind of her journey through faith and through a changing world and new experiences and encountering a new world, questioning everything you know. So
yeah, and it's all those things that like hit a lot of the narrative elements that I enjoy, and then like even Mike, my co-host is normally on the show, but couldn't make it today. Just having kaiju sells Mike. But when you talk about kaiju, religion, post-apocalyptic, all this stuff like meshed together, it's a cocktail that says Chris all around. So,
well, good, man. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. I mean, it's cool to talk to people who really enjoy the book, who have been there since the beginning and supported it. This is my first, this is my first comic series, my first project. So it's been cool to see people, really enjoying it, enjoying the world, becoming involved with it, asking questions, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's been great watching it happen, especially for a first book. It's impressive how well done it is and how well thought out it is. I think a lot of people in their first book tend to just try to get something out real quick and take it from there, where this really feels like a passion project. And from talking in the past, I know that it is. So, I mean, a little bit into the background of it, like this was a book that you had thought of for a long time and then just decided to do it. So, I mean, how does it feel now that you're not quite at the finish line? We still have to get it funded, and I'm sure it will get funded. But how does it feel now that like the book's complete, you have the story you wanted to tell, and it's been out there?
It feels great. So we're almost at the finish line. There'll actually be another issue after this one. So this is issue 4, And then issue 5 will be the final issue.
Oh, I thought it was a 4-issue series. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. but we're definitely like it's in sight. The finish line is in sight. And that is crazy. Cause yeah, like you said, I mean, this is a story that I've had, you know, in some form in my head for, you know, multiple years before I even really started to work on it. And then, it being my first project, like you said, I tried to take it slow. And, the biggest thing is just, you know, getting a team, around me that could do it, that, you know, when I, wasn't sure or something, having some other people, you know, being able to really work as a cohesive team to put that together. And I think that's really one of the strengths of the book is, like you said, I think it does come across really professional. And the reason for that isn't, you know, because I know what I'm doing, because that's just not true. The reason is we have all these amazing people who are working together. There's great communication and working hard and, you know, with everybody on the same page, like you're seeing, you know, the work of 4 or 5 different people putting this together. It's not just like one person, you know, doing it. And I think that's what really makes it seem like such a good book is that, you know, you've got a lot of, you know, effort from a lot of people. And it's cool because there's a couple people who are a little bit more experienced who have definitely helped us out. And then there's a couple of newer creators like myself, which has been cool because we're very excited. This is the first big project. It's really cool to get to work on one and say you did it. But it's also nice to have, you know, a couple experienced people who are able to help sort of, you know, be a guide and keep things sort of moving on the right track.
Yeah, one of those more seasoned people, if I remember correctly, is your letterer, Marco, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so the team, and there is a change on the team for this 4th issue. So the team for the first 3 issues, so I'm the writer, and then Chris Sassman was the artist as far as lines and inks for the first 3 issues, and then he unfortunately was not able to continue just because of some other stuff he had going on. And so we brought in Donnie Hadiwijaja, I believe is how you say his name, which, and he has been awesome as well. So Chris was a newer artist, very, very talented. I mean, you know, if you've read the first 3 issues, you've seen his work. It's, you know, he is an incredibly talented artist. I think he, you know, I've always said, I think he has the potential to be doing, you know, wherever he wants to go in the comic industry, if he is able, you know, if he, is able to dedicate and gets opportunities, I think he's good enough to do it.
Yeah, especially for someone as green as he is.
Totally.
That being one of his earlier books, or probably first book.
First sort of big one, like first one that's, you know, multiple issues for sure.
Yeah. I think somebody with that early on in their career, you're still going on raw talent for the most part. There's a lot of work that went into it. I appreciate all that, but like there's a lot of raw talent.
Totally.
And people work their whole lives to look as good as he does on that raw talent. So yeah, I agree with you. He could work at Marvel, DC, wherever he wants to, if he got the opportunity.
I agree. And I hope he is able to continue working on comics in the future, because he's got that skill. But Donnie has been great. It's been a fairly seamless transition. So he actually, our letterer is our colorist is Itch San Ansori. And so he had worked with Chris in the past, and he actually knows Donnie as well. So that really helped, because Donnie was able to come on board with somebody who was, on the first 3 issues. And so they made the transition really seamless. Donnie is another extremely talented artist, and it's cool because his style fits territory. It still feels like the same world. It feels different from Chris's. It feels unique, but it's not a jarring change, you know, where I think that's one thing that's hard when you switch artists, is sometimes it can sort of take you out of it. Mm-hmm. If the art style is real different or something like that. This, while it definitely feels, you know, like it's its own style, it fits the world that we had built. And he really, you know, and I talked to him a lot before he started, and he asked a lot of questions. You could tell he really wanted to understand the world that we had, the world of territory, and he really wanted to build on that. And I think he's done that really well. And I think that, you know, people who read the 4th issue, you know, you're definitely going to notice that it's a different artist, but I think you'll still feel like, yes, this is still territory. This is still the same world. This is what, you know, we've come to expect, this is what we want. And so, and he has, he's a little bit more experienced than Chris. He's worked on, you know, a couple other, Kickstarter books, as well as he did a Vampirella book. So, you know, he's got a little bit more of industry experience, which again has been great. Just because he's also brought in, you know, more experience, more, you know, more, knowledge to the table to help us really, you know, make this book as good, as professional, as high quality as it can be. And then, you mentioned our letter earlier, Marco Della Verde. He's also pretty experienced. He's been around for at least 20 or so years and worked, pretty much across, you know, a lot of publishers. And, you know, and that's, he's, like you said, just having him the whole time, he's been really a great guiding force, you know, a person that we've all kind of turned to as far as questions on just the actual how to behind the scenes. He knows all that really well, which is amazing. And then Nicole D'Andrea, our editor, she has been really good. And she, you know, I think she's really, again, helped kind of build that world, build that cohesion, and made it so that this story feels like a complete story.
Yeah, and I think keeping the same colorist was really important on that transition too, because that's the thing that really can just make a huge shift in how the art looks. We showed some pages on the video version. If you're listening to this at home, go check them out on the Kickstarter page. But you can tell in some of the line art, and especially the faces, how the new artist is different. I think that's the biggest shift is the way the new artist portrays faces, mm-hmm. but the backgrounds and the coloring to it, if you just had that, I don't think you would notice a huge difference. And that's a testament to your colorist right there. Like she kills it.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's
killed it. Sorry.
No worries. Yeah. And he's been awesome. And I agree. Like, and I think, you know, he does such a good job on that world building in general, regardless of which, you know, regardless of the line art, it's always really good because he's always asking questions about, you know, you can tell he really wants to understand the feel of the book, the feel of the page, the feel of the scene. And then he brings that into it. And yeah, like you said, being able to bring, you know, keep everyone else on the team consistent, I think was really huge. I wanted this book to be consistent, and I think we were able to maintain that.
Yeah. And it's like you said, the art I felt is fairly consistent. With that, it's not like you brought in like Mike Allred all of a sudden. You're doing pop right. art style.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no, we didn't didn't want to make any hard turns on anybody.
So yeah, so you've got issue 4 is on Kickstarter. What's the big thing this time around? What are you guys offering for reward tiers? Have you done anything different from the previous campaigns with this one? Let's just talk about the campaign altogether.
Absolutely. So this one, one of the great things about this project is it's just kind of, it keeps growing. And so this one, we were able to bring in Joey Galvez from Geek Collective to sort of help manage the campaign, help build it out. He's also helping do some of the media, stuff like that, to just, you know, sort of help increase the reach. And so he had a lot of ideas. He's definitely very experienced in Kickstarter. He's worked with a lot of creators who are very experienced in Kickstarter, who've had a lot of success. And then he's also worked with Scout Comics, you know, and sort of that next level kind of, you know, some of those indie publishers that are really putting out great books right now. So he's definitely got a different, you know, like I said, more experienced eye. And so bringing him on in for the campaign has been awesome for that. And I think you will really enjoy this because we've talked in the past. One of the themes for this campaign is sort of Martha Womersley's art. So you see, you know, that's what's around in the background here, this background you've put up, which looks amazing. Mm-hmm. And Martha has been a variant cover artist for each issue. And like I've told her and I've told everyone, as long as she will keep coming back and doing it, I will keep asking her to do it, because every time she makes a cover, it's absolutely incredible. And she makes, in my opinion, some of the most unique covers of any book that I've seen. Her monster art, her coloring, her visual style is just totally different. And we really want it. So this campaign, we really feature a lot of her art. Because it's got sort of this neon, it's a very bright, colorful style. And so we really brought that element in, this sort of colorful, you know, unique, it doesn't look like, you know, anything else out there. And so this campaign is very, it really features a lot of her, you know, neon, it literally features a lot of her art, you know, as not only the covers, but then we're also doing prints, bookmarks, just sort of more ways of being able, of people being able to see that art because it's been so good. And then also just, in the campaign itself, with a lot of the colors and stuff, just because that's something that will really stick out on Kickstarter, you know, kind of catch people's eye and be unique. And hopefully, you know, because like you said, there are some people that like this book because it's a kaiju book. That's what originally made me want to do it. But I think being able to incorporate a lot of that and feature her art so much is really going to make it stick out to people who are just, you know, looking for something different, looking for something new, something interesting, because it does stick out compared to a lot of other things out there.
Yeah, quick shout out to Martha. Great social media follow, everybody, because she also does a lot of the same art. And I don't know if she does it just for fun or if it's commissions or whatever, but she posts them, so that's all I care about. And hopefully she's getting paid because she's talented. But she has a lot of, like, Godzilla stuff online, too, in this style, and it's awesome. I think I messaged her once, be like, I don't know if you can, because, you know, IP, legalese, I don't know how that works, but, like, if you sold this, I'd probably be covering this room with Godzilla Martha art.
Oh, totally. And she is a great follow, because she does, you know, she does Godzilla, she does just a lot of, you know, kaiju of all sorts of media. And then she's it's been cool to watch her grow, because when she was doing the first Territory cover, she had actually just done a lot of, like, sort of black and white stuff, and you know, I think she was just kind of starting as well. And she's another one that, again, you talk about just, like, raw talent and a unique talent and a unique guy. Like, she definitely has that. And it's cool because now, she's constantly posting artwork and she covers such a wide range, but it all looks amazing. She's able to do, you know, I think her heart's still mostly in the kaiju realm, which is great because that's what I love. That's what, what I commission her for. But any sort of monstrous, you know, she's done even recently, like, some Beast Wars stuff. You know, some more just cool, all sorts of crazy cool properties and stuff. So yeah, definitely, if you're not familiar with her, you should check her out.
100%. And you mentioned in there that you're featuring her art a lot, and I'm seeing on the campaign a lot of print bundles and like you said, the bookmarks and everything. That's going to be all the different, the four covers she did throughout the series. You're going to have his prints and bookmarks.
Yep. So we're going to do prints. We're going to do bookmarks. We're going to do trading cards. We're going to do some more stickers. But yeah, so her four covers will be available in various of those. And then there'll be a couple other ones that are just, you know, sort of more like the general Territory stuff. But yeah, we really wanted to give people more of an idea, because I'm totally with you. I think, like, her art is something that you want to hang on the wall. Her art is something that you want to, like, see more than just on the cover of a comic. You know, it fits. It's just a cool thing to look at. It's good, you know, it'd be a great conversation piece. And so I think, more ways of people being able to have her art is definitely one of the focuses.
Yeah, that makes me so happy, because one of the things in this room that I'm building out to be my comics room, I know there's still some mess behind me, but in front of me is just all of my prints. Well, not all of them, but, you know, the ones I really like up here for me to look at. Mm-hmm. And that would be one, like, something I would 100% add. And everybody can just ignore this part, because I'm just talking to Blake personally, but there's even your print up here of the two kaiju. I'll send you that later. But, but yeah, so, like, that's something for me personally, and I would highly recommend to others, because I love her art so much. I've gotten every cover of hers that's been the cover I bought, which says a lot, because I always say in the show all the time how I'm a cover A guy, like, just give me cover A and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But there was something about hers that popped out that I just really loved. So I'm really happy to hear that, you know, you're doing more with that art and getting it out there, because she definitely deserves it and that needs to be showcased more.
Totally. And it's funny, because before this, I was kind of the same way. Like, I was never really a big variant cover guy, but same thing. And it's, I mean, that's, I think, one of the fun things about Kickstarter is it does give a chance to, you know, really work with artists who otherwise you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't see doing comic books. You wouldn't see doing this cool stuff, because, you know, but it it gives them, you know, gives them a chance to kind of show their work in a new way. And then in this cover, the one that you're showing right now, which is the issue 4 cover for the people who can't see it, this is, you know, I can't, every time I say, you know, this one might be my favorite, and it's hard for me to tell, but this one I feel like just captures the spirit of Territory and the story so well, and it, while still capturing, you know, her art and her feel, that I really, really love this one. And I think, you know, like I said, I think it shows, like, you know, how she just continues to get even, you know, better at her art. And it's shown, like, kind of going through the Territory covers, and seeing each one, this one just really, you know, it, like I said, just captures everything that we want Territory to be.
Yeah, I love this cover too. And what I found interesting about it when I first saw it was that it's not just, so the first three issues were different kaiju that mm-hmm. are in the series. And this one's kind of a retread in terms of, it's the kaiju, I think, from issue 1, the cover yep. she did. But this is also the first time we got one of the characters, one of the human characters in the cover as well. So I thought that was an interesting choice for her, because it was outside of the comfort zone that I'm used to seeing her do.
Right.
And she nailed it. Like, it's one of the best, like, character designs I've seen in a while, for especially for a cover that really fits into the book as well, but is also uniquely her own. Like, how she made that character neon as well, I don't know, but she did it. It was just great.
Well, and it's funny because the whole thing, I mean, you know, if you just looked at these covers, you would probably be pretty surprised by the art that's inside, because, you know, we went pretty heavy on the, you know, this is a post-apocalyptic destroyed world. Like, this is not a bright, vibrant world, you know, as far as like colors, and, you know, there's no neon left, but, you know, I think that's kind of what makes the color so cool, is like you said, she finds a way to take this world, to take these characters, and to add that element to them, which just, you know, is awesome, because it's you know, it still is true to the characters, it's true to the book, but it's also a totally different take than, you know, pretty much everything else that we kind of put out with it.
Yeah, definitely. So we've talked a lot about this cover, and rightfully so, but you also have a bunch of covers. So I'm gonna flip through them. We'll talk about them.
Cool.
And one of the things I'll be interested in when we get to it, because I was looking through the covers, and you always did some sort of homage cover, and I didn't see the homage cover this time. So you gotta school me on what your homage cover was. But we've got this one, which I think is the A cover.
So that's actually the C cover. Okay. So this is another one of the variants. This one is by Laura Helsby. And she is another super talented artist. She's worked on a lot of different Kickstarter books. She's done, you know, some published books. She does do some interior, but she also does a lot of cover work. And this one was another one. She was just another artist that I was a fan of. And, you know, so I just kind of reached out with her. And she shot over, I think, 4, maybe 5 different sort of concepts. And this is actually sort of a mixture of 2 of them. She initially kind of had the skull as one, and then sort of the fist raising the scepter as one. And then, you know, we talked about it and we thought, well, what if we combined them? And I think it turned out really cool. You know, we've talked earlier, you know, Territory is a kaiju book first and foremost. That's what inspired me to write it. I love kaiju, but I think one thing that makes Territory kind of different than a lot of other kaiju is that religious element. You know, it talks about issues that you don't usually see in kaiju media. Mm-hmm. And this cover to me has done, I think, probably the best of any covers we've done as far as capturing that element. This shows, you know, this sort of gives an insight into, you know, these characters truly worship these creatures as gods, and it is their religion. It is, you know, in this world, this is the religion that's left. And this just sort of captures that feeling really well, while also sort of having a daunting kind of ominous feel, which at this stage in the story is when we're starting to see a lot of the sort of downsides about that. And you're going to start to see a lot of those elements sort of come into play more. And this cover, I think, really gives a good sort of feel of that's what's going on.
Yeah, I like this cover. It has, even though it's very detailed and very involved, it's also simplistic.
Yes.
Like it, the actual drawing of it and the pencils and inks of it are very detailed. I like how she did the skull and everything. Mm-hmm. And then even the wood on the scepter is like, I don't even know how that happened. I'm just not an artist, so I don't know how they do this, but they kill it.
I'm right there with you.
But it's just a simple concept that could have easily been phoned in and obviously was not. So, yeah, kudos to that cover as well. And then we got this one here.
So this is the A cover. This is the standard cover for this issue. So this cover was done by Chris Sassman because he had done all of the A covers, and then, like I said, he was an interior artist on the first three books, and he had created this cover when we were still working on issue three. And it's, we've talked about Chris's just insane talent, and, I think this cover really showcases what he can do when he doesn't have to, make a bunch of panels work, when he can just focus on, details and concept. This one is probably the most, tells the most obvious story of all the covers, but that's kind of what I feel like the A cover should do, is, that should give you an idea of what's kind of going on in the book. Yep. And this one shows, but it's still, I love the way he did it. Having the silhouette of the model Ishiki, which is, the third kaiju that was introduced, the kaiju we were introduced to in issue three, the newest one. And it is, It is a pretty terrifying monster in the story kind of from here on out. And this cover really captures that fear, and that, again, it's got that sort of, it tells you that we're at the point in the story where things are starting to get a little bit darker, a little bit more ominous, and that, this issue is going to be, in a lot of ways a little bit more intense than kind of everything we've seen.
Yeah, there's definitely a story to be told of this image, and it's really well done. I thought this was the one you were going to tell me was the homage cover. So we're going to get to, I think, the last one.
Yes.
Right here, which I love this cover. So I'd love to hear the story behind this one.
Totally. So this was done by Donnie Hadiwajaja, who is the new interior artist. We kind of talked about this one. I wanted to do sort of the idea of territories entering a new world, because it is in the story. And for those who haven't read the book, the first couple issues really focus on one tribe. And now we've been introduced to a new tribe, and that opens up a whole new world in the book. That changes everything for all of these characters. And so while the story's going sort of into this new world, we're also kind of, with the change in artists, we're entering a new world there. This is, a new artist, sort of a new take on territory. And so just kind of wanted to, sort of symbolize that. And with what this cover was, is it is his, because we kind of talked about a couple different ideas of how could we show, sort of what's coming while also showing, this is something new. This is something that's kind of shocking. And, I thought the idea of, again, the model Ishiki, that new monster coming out of the flames, sort of, he's not all there, but you definitely can tell he's there. And the shock out he is seeing, like, her world is about to change. And here's this, this giant force of nature that's changing it. And, he captured all of that. And yeah, I agree with you. I think this is another one. And Ichisan and Sori, the colorist, also colored this. Which, again, his ability to build atmosphere, through his color work is incredible. And I think this cover showcases that as well as anything, because it just feels, again, this feels like, something big is going to happen in this book.
Yeah, it feels mythical. It feels biblical. It feels, mm-hmm. It gives that feel to it. And also just the backdrop of it raining with this giant fireball, there's something about that just appeals to me, that, like, I don't know, fire shouldn't be happening during rain, so there's obviously something wrong here,
right? One thing that we really wanted to do is, because there's such a wide range you can go with kaiju, but we really wanted our kaiju to feel, primal, almost elemental. These are, mm-hmm. They're not natural, but they're not, you know, this isn't some alien force, crazy sci-fi sort of thing. These are, you know, very earth-based sort of, you know, these come from a natural place and now they're just sort of, you know, abominations. And I think, yeah, this cover really captures that primitive elemental feel that we're going for, that we're trying to give, you know, not only the kaiju, but the world itself of, you know, if, you know, this is if we had to start over and we, you know, we are not in charge anymore. Like there is something greater than us and it's physically manifested. It's physically there. And, you know, how do we deal with that?
Yeah, definitely. And quick shout out. I pulled, so all these images are from the Kickstarter page, everybody. So these are the same images you see there. Quick shout out to the little detail of having a little staple right here.
that's all Joey. He was the one that, so he put together all the mock-ups. Like I said, he, you know, it's cool because as territory's grown, you know, as with the first issue, really had no idea what to expect, just wanted to get it made. It was the first comic book I'd ever made, so I wanted it made. That was it. That was all I wanted. Definitely. And now as it's grown, as you know, we've had, it's cool because, you know, we've seen sort of, you know, it develop a fan base. We've seen it grow. There's, you know, people who, you know, I know enjoy it, who I've talked to about it, who ask questions and all this. And so trying to just kind of keep it growing, trying to figure out those ways to do it. Joey has really helped sort of take it to the next level. And I think, I mean, like you said, small details like that, but really, you know, dialing in everything on the campaign to really bring it up to that sort of professional, you know, where every little detail is thought about and taken care of, really helps again bring this sort of to where we're hoping to go with it.
Awesome. Shout out to Joey then. So am I to understand there is no homage cover this time?
So this time there is no homage cover.
Right, I feel smarter now.
No, yeah, there wasn't a trick or anything. You know, I do, obviously I love the homage covers. You know, we've done a lot of them. But it is one of those things where I don't want to do it just to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be the right mix of, you know, an artist who I feel like their style captures it, and, you know, whatever we're homaging is, you know, applicable and relevant and what we're going for. And you know, and I've loved the homage covers, you know, especially as a Godzilla fan, anytime I can sort of, you know, incorporate Godzilla into this, I will do it. But you know, this time just with these artists and with, you know, the ideas brought to the table, this just, it didn't seem there was a, you know, none of it just felt like that was a direction we needed to go. And I'm really happy with the way all these turned out.
Yeah. And it's also, something we should mention too, that if you are comic people like shiny things,
yeah.
And if you like shiny things, Blake's got you covered, because that cover C with the skull and the scepter we talked about will have a hollow foil variant of it as well.
Yes.
That's another fun thing you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that, which is cool. Cause that's one thing that, has been brought up. Cause that's, again, as someone who didn't buy a lot of variant covers, wasn't familiar that like the foil covers were something that never really crossed my mind, but I try to, you know, talk to people, ask them what they like, what they'd like to see. And that is something that's been brought up multiple times, is the foil covers, the shiny covers, the, you know, sort of the premium type cover. And so I'm excited that people, we did in issue two, we had some kind of foil covers, but it was basically just, it was kind of like just sort of a foil version of what we already had. And I think what we're doing now is really what people were looking for, as that sort of premium, you know, shiny, really sticks out sort of cover. Cause we're also going to do with, Martha's cover, the neon one, we're going to do a black light metal cover, which I didn't even know was a thing. But Joey, has a printer that he's worked with that does that. And with the neon, you know, with the neon cover, I think that's another thing that, you know, again, for people that really want that sort of, you know, ultimate cover, ultimate type piece, I think, yeah, it'll be a cool option.
That would be really cool. What would probably be cooler is to do those prints as a black light as well. But
yes, I've looked into that, because I mean, all of her stuff I think would look amazing in under black light. It's so cool. But And yeah, we're kind of, you know, we're saying we will have ways to get her stuff, and we are going to offer more of her artwork because it is so good. But, you know, I think hopefully that when people come into this campaign, because that's another thing is, you know, there are people who are fans of her that follow the camp, that follow Territory for her. And so that's something that, you know, we really want to, and I think we've done a good job of with this campaign. I think once it goes live, or it will be live by the time we, this is out, I hopefully people are enjoying getting to see her artwork in so many ways.
Yeah, definitely. I think you got a great crew of variant cover artists. I mean, you have for all of the issues. I think it was issue 3. I'm positive it was issue 3 where you did the Godzilla variant cover and was really great. I remember a few others throughout it. So it's really cool. You always have a good crew of kind of rotating cast of cover artists, the exception of Martha, who was in there every time, rightfully so.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Well, and that's been one of the fun things. And again, I think one thing that Kickstarter really offers a great opportunity is it allows me, as you know, not just a creator, but as a fan, to just find artists whose work I like and be like, hey, I think your stuff is awesome. I've got this project. You know, can I see your take on it? We'll make it a cover. And, you know, and it's so cool because, you know, it's something where I agree. We've been extremely lucky. The cover artists we've worked with have been amazing. And it's cool because I can just find people whose art I just really enjoy. And then to get to see their take on Territory and their take on this world and, you know, see that art that I love and see it with these characters and with this world. It's awesome. So it's definitely one of my favorite parts of doing these campaigns is finding the variant artists and, you know, just seeing the awesome stuff they come up with.
Yeah. And I guess a couple things to kind of wrap it up. One, all those things we talked about, the bookmarks, the prints, all the, like the special stuff you're doing, those will all be add-on tiers that people can just add on to their pledge.
Yeah, so everything that we are offering, you know, because we'll have a couple bundles, which will have, you know, some of the various things, depending on what bundle it is, some of the various things grouped up. You know, we'll also have, we try to make it as easy and, you know, as open to as many different people as possible. So, so we'll have, you know, just tiers for all the different covers, you know, cover bundles if you want all of them, single covers if you want to pick one, however you want to do that. We'll have bundles, we'll have artwork bundles. But then everything that we do offer, you know, in some, if we offer it in one of the tiers, you will be able to get it individually as an add-on. So if there's just like one thing that you're like, I really like that, I want that, you will be able to get it.
That's great to hear. And, I know you're just launching. You're on day one as this launches, and really focusing on the first couple of days, trying to get everything going. But have you thought about stretch tiers? What if people continue to come? What they can expect if the goal gets met and exceeded?
Yes. So we will have stretch goals. So one that we've kind of had for all of them. The first one will be a digital upgrade, and that is something where we basically add in a lot of behind the scenes work to the PDF. And that way, you know, for the people that want to see sort of the process behind it, it will give you a good insight into that. But then we will be offering some cool physical rewards as well. So we're going to be doing some keychains, some prints, and then let me check. Because we've kind of gone back and forth as far as, because we want it to feel, you know, exciting. And so we're also going to do, again, with the theme of the campaign, with Martha's work, we're going to do like a holofoil neon sticker, something that really, you know, will pop and you know, hopefully kind of stand out.
Those all sound awesome. So, yeah, everybody go out and pledge so I can get some stickers and whatnot, because you already know I backed, like you already know I'm there. So.
And I appreciate you for it.
Blake, I appreciate you taking the time, come chat. Like we said, love the book. It's been a blast watching it grow and all that. If people want to follow you online, I know you make terrible life decisions like being on Twitter and whatnot. So where can they follow you there?
Unfortunately still, but there's not a better option really. So Twitter is still the best option. That's where I kind of post the most stuff. And so that's just, fortunately all of my stuff is the same. So that makes it easy. It's at BMC Comics. So BMC Comics. So I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Those are sort of the two main places. I have joined Blue Sky. I have joined Threads. And hopefully that will be it. But as things continue to, you know, devolve, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm not a fan of social media, but I do appreciate, you know, so many people do reach out there, talk about the book, and it is great to see. So definitely, you know, give me a follow. You know, I'm happy to answer any questions about the book or talk about it.
Yeah, I love and hate social media at the same time. It's just, but I wish there was just one.
Yeah, if there was like just, you know, one place and it didn't suck, that would be amazing. But
yeah,
unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
So everybody out there, you know the deal. The Kickstarter link is in the show notes down below. So definitely click on that. Check the book out if you haven't already. And definitely grab a copy because I can't recommend it enough. And I look forward to reading issue 4. So, Blake, thanks again. And best of luck with the campaign. And we'll definitely talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, see you next time.